I direct your attention to Psalm number 32. Psalm number 32, verses 1 through 7. And I'm actually going to read a different translation than what you have on the screen, Nikki, so thank you so much. All right. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to read from the New International Reader's Version of the Bible. Amen. It may sound a little different than what you've got, but here it is nonetheless. Says, blessed is the person whose lawless acts are forgiven. Their sins have been taken away. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord never counts against them. That person doesn't want to cheat anyone. When I kept silent about my sin, my body became weak. Because I groaned all day long. Day and night you punished me. I became weaker and weaker as I do in the heat of summer. Then I admitted my sin to you. I didn't cover up the wrong I had done. I said, I will admit my lawless acts to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let everyone who is faithful pray to you while they can still look to you. When troubles come like a flood, they certainly won't reach those who are faithful. You are my hiding place. You will keep me safe from trouble. You will surround me with songs sung by those who praise you because you save your people. God's word for God's people. For a few moments this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, a lesson on repentance. A lesson on repentance. In my Bible, right before the words of Psalm 32, is the description, a maskil of David. M-A-S-K-I-L. A maskil of David. That means that the poem that follows is a specific instructional or meditative song. Some have said that these songs were sung as a form of teaching in the tabernacle and later the temple. When I think about songs whose goal is to teach us something, I remember back in elementary school when our teacher would lead us in kind of a silly song, but it was head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Oh, they did it in y'all school too, amen. Y'all remember, they would say head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Now, I remember when I was in elementary school, it was easier to go from knees to toes, but now I'm just going to point at my toes because gravity helps me getting down, but not so much getting back up. Amen. They would say head, shoulders, knees and toes, head. Wait, did I do it? It's three times, right? Knees and toes. And then the next time through, they would substitute one of them with a hand clap. So they would go shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes, knees and toes. They would go shoulders, knees, and toes. Then they would substitute the shoulders, so then they would go knees and toes, knees and toes. And it went along. So we know about instructional songs. Amen? Well, as I said, Psalm 32 was written by David and used in the church to teach the people something. But what was it designed to teach them? I believe Psalm 32 is supposed to teach us a lesson about repentance. Beloved, I've learned that the subject of Psalm 32 is the happiness that follows the confession of sin and the experience of forgiveness. It calls upon believers to learn from the writer's experience of sin, denial, confession, and forgiveness. The section I'd like us to concentrate on starts off and ends the same way. talking about how blessed we are when we are forgiven. How blessed we are because the bad things we did, said, and thought about doing or saying have been taken away. How blessed we are that God doesn't hold a grudge against us because of something we did, said, or thought about saying or doing that we knew was wrong when we did it, but we did it anyhow. We can relate, can't we? We haven't always done right. We haven't always said the right thing. We haven't always thought the right thoughts, have we? Well, the writer of this psalm admits that he knew he hadn't done right and knew that God was not pleased with what he had done. He kept silent about it. And he didn't just feel bad. I mean, have you ever... You don't have to raise your hand or point or look at nobody, but have you ever done something wrong and it looked like you had gotten away with it? No one noticed the extra cookie missing from the cookie jar. No one seemed to notice that you stayed up past your bedtime. No one seemed to notice that the cashier at the store gave you back more than they should have given you. The alarm didn't go off when you left the store with an item the cashier forgot to scan. Well, the highway patrol didn't pull you over, even though you know you were going faster than the posted speed limit sign. Well, the camera didn't even catch you side-eyeing that person that you later gave a smile to. Amen? You got away with it, right? But then, like the psalm writer says, your body became weak. You found yourself not well and unable to sleep. Your spirit unsettled because of your guilty conscience. Beloved, when we find ourselves in this situation, the writer of Psalm 32 gives us an example to follow so that we can make this guilt and shame go away and be back in right relationship with God. Oh, I'm glad about it. It all starts with admitting your sin. The writer of Psalm 32 takes it a step further by stating that he didn't cover up the wrong that he'd done. He told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's admirable. I tell my children all the time, and now I'm telling you, that it's always better when you admit truthfully what you've done. For mercy is reserved for those who admit truthfully the wrongs that they've done. When a parent, a teacher, a supervisor, or a law enforcement officer comes upon evidence of wrongdoing, finds no one willing to say what happened, and has to investigate, it's always worse for the offender. David's lesson on repentance says that it's better to admit what we've done wrong and allow our merciful Lord to shower us with his grace and mercy. I believe this psalm gives us three benefits to repentance. Here's the first one. God will forgive. Can anyone give me their definition for forgive? Just shout it out. Your definition for forgive. What's it mean to forgive? Young people, y'all know? What's it mean to forgive? What's it mean to forgive? Go ahead, Tim.
What else?
Give me enough, your definition of forgive. Yes, River. Yeah, they let you go with it. You've done something wrong, they let it go. All right, very good. Anybody else have a definition for forgive? Get up and move on. Amen. That's right. Amen. Wonderful. Get over it. Amen. And move on. Amen. Good definitions. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it says that to forgive is to stop feeling resentment against. That's just what River said. You just go on. Let it go on. Let it alone. Leave it alone. Stop messing with it. Amen. It means that even though someone has done something that's wrong or hurtful, that is wrong or hurtful, this thing that they did that was wrong and hurtful won't be held against them, even though you have every right to hold it against them. The writer of Psalm 32 in his lesson on repentance assures us that no matter what bad things we said, did, or thought about saying, God will still forgive us. The good news that God will forgive us if we ask for forgiveness, but not only that, the songwriter assures us by his example that God also takes away the guilt of our sin. Oh, I'm glad about it today. Which means God doesn't hold our bad deeds over our heads and bring it up every time we kneel to pray. God doesn't remind us of our bad words whenever we open our mouths to ask God for something. God doesn't make us feel guilty about our bad thoughts every time we turn around. No, when we admit our sin, God forgives our sin and takes the guilt of it away in one fell swoop. Oh, isn't that good news? Well, the second thing about it is this. God will keep you safe. God will keep you safe. What keeps you safe? What keeps you safe? I want you to think about that. What keeps you safe? Feeling safe. The writer of Psalm 32 reminds those who are faithful that although trouble is all around us, God, our shelter, our hiding place, will keep us safe from trouble. This is another lesson on repentance. When we were out there doing our own thing, saying what we should not be saying, going where we should not be going, keeping our minds fixed on bad thoughts, acting like we didn't need the protection of God, that's just what God allowed. No protection, amen? But my dear beloveds, we need to be protected. We need a hiding place when the world gets rough. We need a safe place from all the trouble in this world. Repentance gives us access to our ultimate hiding place. Repentance gives us the key to the place that keeps us safe from trouble. And that place is in the safe, loving arms of our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, church, this world is not without its troubles. Sometimes it's like troubles come like a flood, one after another. Trouble at school, trouble at home, trouble on the job, trouble to your left, trouble to your right. Everywhere you look, it just seems like more trouble. But when we repent, we have a troubler in our God. When we repent in God, we have a hiding place. When we repent in God, we find a safe place from trouble. Yeah, well, lastly, God will bless us. This last part of this section of Psalm 32 is a promise that reminds the reader of the first part of the psalm, which talks about how the forgiven person is blessed. David reveals here in this last verse just how the forgiven person is blessed. It's this: we find ourselves surrounded by joy, not misery, joy, not sadness, joy, not sorrow, joy, not unhappiness, but joy. Think for a moment about what joy gives you. Think for a moment about what joy brings you. Think for a moment who brings you joy. The writer of Psalm 32 in this lesson on repentance identifies God as the provider of blessings and joy. Because of our repentance, gone are the sorrows of our sin. Because of our repentance, gone are the overwhelming troubles caused by our bad deeds. Because of our repentance, gone is the misery caused by the bad things we did and bad things we said. And we can now say hello to the joyful songs of praise being offered by God's saved people. We can sing along with the hymn writer, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." Oh, we can hold our heads up and sing along, knowing that we are forgiven. Our sin, our guilt, nor shame is able to hold our praises back. What we've done, who we did it with, or why can't shut up our praise. What we said, who we said it to, and when we said it, can't hold back our praise. Our bad thoughts directed at people we deemed our enemies can't keep us from joining in on the praise party. Why? Because we've been forgiven. We've been kept safe from trouble, and we've been blessed by the best. All because we've taken the opportunity to admit our sin to our Lord and turn our Lord, and in turn, our Lord has forgiven the guilt of our sin. Amen. 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 And amen.